This is a production from the Yak Podcasting Network. The home for your growing sonic map of local voices, united in their commitment to the best in podcasting.
Capital of Texas, you're listening to the Austin Anthem Podcast. My name is Landon Cottom, and I am joined by Jeremiah Bentley.
Hey, Jeremiah Bentley, Words and Pictures, Austin Anthem.
And Mr. Tony Cardone.
It's Tony, mostly words, less pictures.
We are doing a rare morning record today. How are you guys doing this morning?
Well, I have a cold, and I'm highly medicated, and it sort of made me question the meaning of life and my own existence. So if I say anything sort of extra crazy today, I'm going to blame it on that. And it's also weird, so it's not a soccer, beer, and politics podcast, I guess, today. It's a soccer, coffee, donuts, and politics podcast.
Yeah, we can talk about the coffee we're drinking.
Yeah, it's a fine Austin roast.
It's not. It's Dallas.
Made directly
in
Landon's house, though, so that makes it local. Apologize for Jeremiah sounding like me today. It is his cold. But I've been up since 6:30 watching soccer, so there is soccer involved in this podcast.
Yeah, how'd Liverpool do today?
Well, I mean, they are top of the league, and they are dominant, and Watford is not very good. So put all those dots together, and spoiler alert, they won. VAR was involved, but, you know, we'll get over that.
And the coffee may not be Austin-based coffee, but it is in a fine Grackle,
yes.
Austin Anthem mug, which you can probably buy on the store online, and you should go run do now.
Yeah, along with the other cool new merch, but these mugs are pretty sweet. All right, let's jump into some Austin FC news. So we already talked about the Claudio Reyna hiring, but the press conference and meet and greet with Claudio Reyna was happened since our last recording date. So that was Tuesday, December 3rd. The press conference was very press conference-y. I dipped out of work early and got to go check that out. It was a little bit... Yeah, it was very press conference-y is the only way to say it. It was a little bit stiff, and but we got some FaceTime with Claudio there and got to take some pictures with him, the few of the Anthem members that were able to ditch work and get in. But then the meet and greet was actually really cool. I really enjoyed the meet and greet. It was a pretty fun time.
Yeah, I guess shout out to Andrew Urban for a great question at the press conference. But yeah, very Q&A for the first one. And then the second one, Tacoba on a Tuesday, you know, after work, you know, good times beforehand with the happy hour drink, some tacos. And, you know, then Claudio comes out. And I guess to my surprise, Josh Wolf was there now that he'd been released from national team duties, I think, to see him and, you know, Anthony and Tom and the whole gang just up there and like, send me your questions. And he answered a lot of questions and they stuck around for a pretty good time.
Yeah, I was kind of hoping that Josh would be there, but they never marketed that really, so I didn't know if he would be. But so yeah, I was very happy to see him there. You mentioned Andrew Urban's question at the press conference. It was kind of like the normal Austin sports people were there, and Tom Webb, the marketing person for Austin FC, made sure that each one of them got their question and then looked pretty happy to wrap it up and for it to be over with. And then Andrew Urban jumps up and raises his hand. And I think everybody on the Austin FC side and the Anthem side was like, oh no, what is he going to say? But it was actually a very good question about fan culture and how Claudio sees the importance of that. So good job, Andrew. But we were all kind of tense there for a second.
Yeah, very disappointed. No dad jokes from dad. just a good old straight question there for the press conference.
So what are our takeaways from the press conference and I think more so the meet and greet? I think we got more meaty questions answered in the meet and greet than we did in the press conference. So what were some of y'all's takeaways for that?
I think from that, in the spirit of questions that could have been loaded, I really appreciated Phil West opening the question up by asking Reyna how he felt about having a coach pre-selected before the sporting director with a coach sitting right beside him. Yeah. I thought Reyna did a pretty good job of handling that.
Yeah. How am I supposed to answer that, Phil? There's no good way to answer this right now.
Yeah, he dealt with it head on. I think one of the big pieces of news, and like you mentioned earlier, it was really good to see, you know, the coach and the director, and just every time we do one of these things, it becomes more and more real. And the fact that he talked about that we could be signing players as early as the next signing window, which is just a couple months away now. So I think it opens in February. So that was a really exciting piece of news because, like, it's time. We'd like to talk soccer and soccer players and tactics and things like that.
Yeah, there's still a very good chance it won't be until next summer. But the possibility of there being an early signing like that is pretty exciting. There was questions asked about what kinds of signings he's going to be making, and there's an interesting quote that I think could be taken a couple of ways. So I'll just read that real fast, and then we can talk about it. But he said, "New York is a very cluttered market with so many teams and just so much going on that we decided it was important to bring in big names and to make a splash to see if we could cut through the clutter." And went on to say that essentially the signings and the decisions about signings here will probably be made a little bit differently. One way to interpret that is to say that maybe he doesn't feel the pressure to make as big of a signing. But I think the way I'm going to choose to interpret it, and I think probably the more correct way to interpret it, is that he doesn't feel like it necessarily has to be a big name, as long as it's the product on the field is going to be something that makes them more competitive, which the way the MLS is going these days, I think that's the right answer. Like, a big name is great, but if they can't actually produce on the field, then it's not worth going after.
Yeah, I mean, the big names he signed, they were not very good.
Right, yeah. Frank Lampard and Andrea Pirlo were, yeah, some of the biggest names in world soccer in the last decade, but they weren't very good at NYCFC. And David Villa was actually quite good for them. But those other two names didn't really produce on the field, and they didn't really get good until those two guys were phased out and they kind of replaced them with smaller names.
Yeah, I feel like Pirlo kind of had that impression of like sitting in the back and smoking cigarettes and drinking Prosecco on the field and not really moving around very much in Italy. And he really lived up to that, like, not moving around and really contributing it at all in New York. So, you know, yeah, I choose to believe the same way that you do, that they're really looking at people who are going to help their what they're trying to build as a team and sort of their playoff ambition and approach, and not worry so much about signing a giant name.
I think maybe the difference there was, instead of having Paul Pogba next to him, it was Mix Diskerud or somebody.
Yeah, but I think he was very careful with his words. So he wasn't saying we're not going to sign big name players. He's saying we will sign big name players if they work in the system we want to play. Because I think, to his point about New York being cluttered, like, you're at Yankee Stadium, you're competing with allegedly professional football teams and the Giants and the Jets. Baseball's going on. You got other sports in the New York market. You don't have that here. So you don't need to compete with other sports markets to bring people into the stadium. So you put a product on the field that's going to win, and you'll build a much more long-term vision than I think New York City had right at the beginning.
Yeah, the kind of the trend in the league now, I mean, there are still very big names being signed by teams, but in the last few years, some of the most successful players in the league were names that you had not heard before. I think best case scenario is Joseph Martinez, who nobody had heard of him beforehand. He comes in, he destroys the league. He becomes a beloved figure in Atlanta. He's a superstar there. And so I think that I would almost rather have that scenario. Not to say that that's an easy thing to accomplish, but I would almost rather have that than have your Zlatan or your Beckham or someone who's like, oh, this is just kind of another step in their career doing something else. Whereas Joseph Martinez, like, Atlanta United is the highlight of his career, and he seems extremely happy to be there and happy to be this beloved figure in the city. So I would almost rather do it that way and take a chance on trying to create a name instead of just signing a name.
And if you think about the name that we've heard the most about, so Chicharito is the name that you would think is the big name. And I got some assurance, or hopefully, you know, thought that if that makes sense for the way that they're going to play and he's the best player to contribute to that, they're going to sign him, but they're not just going to sign him because they want to sell a bunch of Chicharito jerseys.
Yeah. So another question was about where their recruiting focus will be. And so Claudio emphasized that they're open to recruiting from all over the world, and he's done that at NYCFC. It's difficult to say how much of that was his specific work and how much of it was the connection to City Football Group and their scouting network. But he did say that we'll scout all over the world, but we're going to have a focus on Latin America. I think it's, like I said, the trend in MLS is kind of where the value is right now in young players, but also for marketing reasons, just the demographics in Austin. If we can get a young Latin American, especially a Mexican player, I think it's going to go a long way with just getting more parts and more people in Austin excited about the team.
Yeah, and you mentioned Joseph Martinez. You got Miguel Almirón over there in Atlanta. You know, you've got a dearth of talent in Latin America that is being slowly brought up to speed, I guess. And you know, as a San Antonio Spurs fan, you can kind of see MLS maybe drifting in that era where they're now kind of expanding their horizons into Latin America and going, you know what, this is not just good value, but these are great players that we can build alongside our you know, U.S. youth academies that make sense for the way we want to play in the United States.
And related to scouting Latin American players, one of the questions was the importance of Claudio being able to speak Spanish to players. And this is another quote from the meet and greet. And he said, "It's important when you speak to a player and you can connect with them in speaking the language. There's a little bit more trust and communication in what's being said, so it is helpful. I've known for me personally, with my experiences in the past, being able to speak Spanish is helpful." At the press conference, whenever they kind of did the breakaway things and they go stick cameras in his face and microphones in his face, at least one of them was for Spanish language TV station. And I had never heard him speak Spanish, so I was kind of interested to see how his Spanish is. And I kind of snuck over and listened. He speaks Spanish really well, and it's with an Argentinian accent, kind of. But his Spanish is quite good. And so when it comes to maybe there's this 17-year-old phenom and somebody needs to go to their house and talk to parents or whatever, I think that's going to be a big asset in situations like that. Or even when bringing in signings and just helping them to feel a little bit more at home and a little bit more welcome, having that someone speak your native language to you will go a long way in that.
And he did talk about later following up on that, sort of the importance of the signings and like making the people they brought in feel at home and feel a part of the culture. And he talked about the risk of signing a whole bunch of people all at once and how they're going to kind of try to keep sort of a steady flow that they can manage, because they want people to feel at home and sort of build that camaraderie and that feeling of belonging. And I think that'll be an important part of building the right soccer culture around the team.
And you see, I don't know if you've watched any of these videos that U.S. Soccer has released over the last little bit. There was one recently where the I think it was Wolf's last game with the national team, and Berhalter kind of made a little speech, and you could see the players were, he has a really good connection with the players, or so it seems when looking at it. And so it seems that with Josh and Claudio's mentality about building those relationships and kind of bringing in a good group, I feel like there's a really good opportunity to have kind of a good synergy in the group. And there's, with Wolf being such a student of the school of Berhalter, I think there's been some negativity about Berhalter trying to run the national team like a club, but he was very good at running a club like a club beforehand. And I think Wolf is going to do a lot of things the same way that Berhalter does. And one of those things was bringing a group together and maybe outpunching their weight class a little bit with what they have. And so I'm excited to see just that side of it, kind of the relationship building and team building aspect that Reyna and Wolf will be able to pull together.
Yeah, and I think critically Berhalter was very good at building a club for MLS. Like, he's very good at, like you said, extracting the most talent from that group. Because when you're competing with like the Galaxy and their signings of, you know, Ibrahimovic, you have to find a different way to win. And Berhalter did that, you know, when he was a club coach. And I think Wolf can do that here, especially when you know, like he and Reyna played on the national team roughly about the same time. You know, they've got those connections within U.S. soccer and the club as well, because a lot of those players during those national team phases, they've gone out and kind of, you know, spread out across the industry as well. So the connections there, I think, will be something we should keep an eye on.
All right, so we wanted to do a little bit of a year in review on these last couple of episodes of 2019. So we're going to do a couple of interview segments now. So the first one is going to be with Austin American Statesman writer Chris Bills. He's been one of those voices that's kind of been there all along and has been covering every bit of news along the way. So we thought it'd be fun to talk to him and kind of get some of his insights about the last year. And then the second one is going to be with the VP of PR and broadcast for Austin FC.
You got it. You did a great job.
Thank you, Mr. Tom Webb. So yeah, we're going to cut to those interviews now and get some of their insights on the last year. And then we'll be back right after that to give you some of our thoughts on it. I don't know you a thing. I don't know you a thing, baby. I'm joined by Chris Bills, who is a sports journalist who writes for multiple publications, but most of you will know him for his soccer writing in the Austin American Statesman. Thanks for taking the time, Chris.
Yeah, absolutely, Landon. Thanks for having me.
So as we were scheduling a time for this, I was trying to remember where or when I met you for the first time. And I think I decided that it was March 2018 during South by Southwest at Fado. I remember Fox.
That sounds right. I think I remember that.
Yeah, yeah. Fox Sports had a bunch of stuff going on because it was just before the World Cup. And I think it was just kind of an informal gathering of people over at Fado watching. I think it was like the second week of MLS games that season. But I think I met you there. And then I believe I also met Phil West, the writer and friend of the show that day as well. And then Andrew Urban and Derek Ensign and Shane Costello, who are all part of Austin Anthem leadership now and people that I consider good friends. I think I met all of them that day as well. But the reason I bring that up is because it made me realize how much has happened and how much has changed in the last year and a half, which I imagine is also true for you. So what are some of the changes that professional changes that you've experienced over the last year and a half or last year or so?
Well, I gotta be patient here. Probably not as much as I'd like at times, but also I do have to kind of take a step back. Like you said, so much has changed in the last year and a half. For me, 2 years really of kind of being in the weeds and paying attention to all this stuff, and definitely reporting more on soccer. There's actual soccer games to cover in Austin. Of course, no MLS games yet, but we're getting there. And for me, still freelancing, but like I said, more on the soccer side, and that's always good.
Because before then, you weren't really getting to write about a ton of soccer. Is that right?
Yeah, I mean, I moved here in 2016. Of course, always have loved soccer and want to report on soccer. But there weren't any professional soccer teams when I moved here. So just was working mostly kind of writing kind of blog stuff about the Longhorns and covering high school sports as well, both of which I've been doing much less of. So that's good. You know, it's way more soccer than it was when I first moved here. And definitely more than even a year ago, like you were saying.
Yeah, pretty soon you're going to have too much soccer to write about.
That'd be a good problem to have.
Yeah. What is your general view on soccer culture in Austin, and how do you see Austin Anthem's position and role within that landscape?
Yeah, I think my view on the soccer culture here has definitely evolved, right, as we've gotten more soccer in the city. I think when I first moved here, one of the first weeks I was here was during the Copa America Centenario. And I went to watch, I think it was the U.S.-Argentina match at Haymaker. And I couldn't find a parking spot, which anyone who's ever been to Haymaker can understand that dilemma the first time you drive up there, which I love Keith. I love what they do over there. And once you get the hang of it, it's not too bad. But I was just overwhelmed. I was like, oh my man, I'm kind of from a smaller area, so I was kind of overwhelmed with trying to park in the city to begin with. And but that was kind of my first taste of, oh wow, people really care here. Like people want to know what's going on, or people want to watch soccer together. And then that's kind of evolved to now, you know, seeing the passion for Austin FC. But not only that, like seeing, I think the way Mr. Tramps, which is right down the road from my house, can get packed for like Liga MX matches, or I think I went to watch a CONCACAF Champions League final there. And, you know, just different, you know, there's that side of the culture, which I think is super cool. And I think that's what you guys, talking about the Austin Anthem, have done a great job of, is being, you know, open and accepting and welcoming to all those different groups. So, you know, I'd say keep that up, and that's been awesome to see. But I think we're going to see it grow even more and more. I know this is an Austin FC podcast, but it's been interesting for me to watch the first season of The Bold, and you know, even they've kind of grown obviously small, but a small supporters culture where, you know, the first few games it was very disjointed. And by the end of the season, there were chants and there was even a wave and, you know, little things like that, that just kind of show that once you kind of get something going, then it kind of becomes contagious. And that's certainly happening with Austin FC and even with the Bold. And I think, you know, even saw it a little bit with the Longhorns, what you guys were doing out there with, you know, having the Merga out there, which was super cool. So I think creating that atmosphere, creating that buzz, people are hungry for it in Austin. People want to, you know, go out and support soccer. And so that's really cool to see.
Yeah. You mentioned going out to bars and just being surprised about how many people are out watching games. I've only lived in Austin for about 4 years as well. And I had the same reaction, just finding there's probably 5 or 6 or 7 bars that on a given weekend will be packed all at the same time, for various Premier League matches or whatever else. And so, yeah, it's a large and diverse soccer scene. And so, yeah, part of Anthem's goal is to provide a big tent so all of those people can come together for under the same flag at some point. So that, yeah, that's definitely one of our goals. So hopefully we can make that happen. So getting to this is part of a year in review show for us. So what is the biggest Austin FC story or stories of 2019? If there's a clear cut one for you, then you can talk about that. Or if you'd rather do like a top three or something, then that's great too.
Yeah, it's tough because there's been so many things that have happened, I think, over the last year. Of course, you know, you think about the January 15th and that sort of feels like a long time ago just because of everything that's happened. You know, it's hard to believe that was still in 2019. You know, so January 15th was when, you know, the MLS team became official. And I think that was just a really cool celebration. It wasn't like a surprising, like, wow news. Right. To me, the biggest wow news for me, I think, was Claudio Reyna. I think for me, I think the Josh Wolf hire was obviously, I think it was a good one. And you know, a guy who definitely deserves, you know, a shot at a head coaching job. And it's going to be exciting to see what he can do. But he came from the organization. I don't think it was a surprise to people. Claudio Reyna really, I think, grabbed a lot of attention around at least the MLS, people that follow MLS closely, to say, wow, this guy's going to leave a project that he built from the ground up and has a lot of belief in what's happening with Austin FC. And to me, that was the biggest, you know, that kind of, I think I wrote this and I'm going to butcher it, you know, speaking here, which is tends to be what I do. But, you know, it shed a kind of different light on Austin FC, I think, for people that aren't really sure what to expect from this franchise, of just kind of the ambition that they have and the fact that they were willing to go out and get Claudio Reyna and also to get to, you know, convince him that, you know, this is a club that you have a chance to succeed at. So I think that was, to me, that was maybe the biggest news or the biggest wow, I think, from that I saw from people outside of Austin, which, you know, it's obviously important how people here feel. But I think you guys would agree that it's always good to hear positive things from the outside as well.
Yeah,
when
course.
It comes to this franchise.
Yeah, I think that moment, the Reyna announcement, is one of those that that really like made people from outside of Austin kind of turn their head and say, "Oh, wow, that's big." And I think the other one that stands out to me is the season ticket deposits. I think that was maybe the first one. That was like the big turning point where I think there was a lot of excitement here in the city about Austin FC before then, well before then. But the first time that people outside of Austin started looking at what we're doing here, what's happening here, and maybe took notice that maybe something big is going to happen in Austin. And I think the season ticket deposits was that very first one. But then there's been a couple of them since then.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up because it was kind of the same feeling that day. And I think that the Reyna news kind of, it's just a continuation, right, of those feelings, I think, for a lot of people. So,
are there any interesting behind the scenes stories from the big events that you would be able to share with us? I know you kind of get get early access to some of this stuff, being one of the premier soccer writers in town. So
yeah, people are going to want something juicy here, but I can't think of anything. The one thing that kind of comes to mind, and it's more quirky, and I think it's fine, but so it was at the groundbreaking. I thought this kind of summed up how I felt about the day of the groundbreaking, just because there were, I was looking around and it was really people from all of the different stages of the process, right? Because we started out and it felt like I was a city council reporter for a while, just grinding away with Phil Jankowski, and he'll probably get on me for if he heard me say that, because he works long hours every week doing that. I just did it like 4 or 5 times, but just the amount of people from the beginning of the process to the end, or like not the end, but like where we were there in, I guess that was September.
September 9th was the groundbreaking.
Yeah. Yeah. So September 9th. And I found myself, in the portable bathroom, and, I walked in and Matthew McConaughey was in there. And then Richard Suttle comes in behind me, which I just thought, you know, it was just one of those moments, which I'm painting a picture that probably people don't want to be, you know, picturing too much, but just the way that I felt about like the amount of people that were there from like different stages of the process, and like Richard's kind of talking my ear off about some kind of, I think it was, people were raising concerns, right, about the environmental stuff with the property. And I was like, yeah, Richard, I've read it all. It's and Matthew McConaughey is just humming away in the bathroom. And I'm just like, what is happening?
Yeah, those are two people that are on pretty opposite ends of the
But
the
both very Austin, right? Like,
yeah,
both.
And very Austin, and very important to this whole process, but in very different ways.
yeah. So, and that's going to be very weird. But that's what comes to mind as far as like a behind the scenes moment that I haven't really shared. I thought about sending a tweet that day, and I was like, no, this is not where I want to be. But here we are. So,
yeah, that's a good one. Thanks for sharing. So I guess my last question is, what are you looking forward to within this next year? What are the things you're most looking forward to writing about or covering?
Players, right? I mean, this has been something we've talked about since the end of 2017, of an MLS team coming to Austin, and having the coach and sporting director in place has been really cool, and actually having people to talk about soccer with. But I am just fascinated to see how Austin FC and Claudio Reyna and Josh Wolf go about building this roster, and, you know, seeing who those first big names are. I think that's the, you know, we're getting close to the holiday, you know, the holidays, and you just think about gifts under the tree. We're not going to probably get them that soon, but I think that's what everyone in Austin, you know, with the anthem is probably waiting on, you know, who are those first players, you know, what jersey am I going to get? What, you know, all that kind of stuff. So I think that's the obvious one to me is the players.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, you were talking about, you were a city council reporter for a while. We always joke that for the first year or so, this was a beer and politics podcast. And only recently has it become we've still rarely talk about actual soccer balls being kicked on a field, but it's at least gotten more soccer adjacent. But whenever we actually get that first player signed, we can actually start talking about soccer being played, not necessarily on a pitch for Austin FC yet, but we can start kind of dreaming about what that player is going to look like on the pitch and what the team around that person is going to look like. So yeah, I agree with you. That's going to be super exciting. So before we finish up, tell our listeners where they can find your work.
Absolutely, yeah. So you can find me on Twitter. It's probably easiest way, at Chris Bills, so CHRISBILS. And just keep reading The Statesman. You know, subscribe, it always helps. And, you know, just look for all the soccer stories there.
Perfect. Thanks, Chris. It's
and, of course, Austin Soccer Pod as well.
Oh, yes, of course. All right, well, thanks, Chris. It's been a pleasure.
All right. Thanks, Landon.
All right, thanks again to Chris Bills for joining us. Now we're going to go to an interview with Tom Webb. Tom, thanks for joining me.
My pleasure. Always a pleasure to speak to you.
All right. So you've been working in sports marketing and PR for a long time now. Is it like 15 or 20 years?
I wish it was 15 years. It's more like 25 years. Yeah, my career started before the internet, before cell phones, before social media, before all that good stuff.
Yeah, so I imagine the game has changed quite a bit in that time, huh?
The game has changed dramatically. I remember the day when somebody said to me, "Where's the social media plan?" And I realized with a sinking heart that my workload was about to double. But it's all good. You know, it's good to be able to connect with people one-to-one as social media allows us to.
So since joining Austin FC earlier this year, what has this experience been like for you in being part of starting a new team from the ground up?
My experience since joining Austin FC has been absolutely outstanding. Every single minute of the day is an opportunity to do something really unique and really amazing. There are moments when you realize just how special what is happening here really is, being stopped in the street by people coming up to you and thanking you for being part of this club, for having, you know, hundreds of people, thousands of people tuning into what we're doing on live streams and at the events we stage, and just seeing the kind of reaction of the whole community across Austin to everything that's happening here. It's such an honor, and it's such a unique, special occasion to be part of what's happening here. We're a very small team in the front office at the moment. We're going to grow through 2020 and into 2021. But there are extremely capable people who just want to roll their sleeves up and do multiple jobs to get everything done. So I'm very honored, and I feel extremely proud to be part of such a talented, hardworking group of people.
What are some of your highlights of 2019?
My highlights of 2019 are really every single major thing that we've done. You know, from the moment that I started, my feet haven't really touched the ground. You know, we broke ground on the stadium. We unveiled Josh Wolf. We unveiled Claudio Reyna. We announced where the St. David's Performance Center is going to be. You know, we did an EMLS challenge. We've done so many good things that just keep growing the legend every single day. It's hard to kind of pinpoint one particular thing. But I think there have been some especially proud moments for us. Things like seeing the Dove Springs futsal court open. You know, that's a really special moment for us because, you know, we're seeing the community engaging with us, and we're lucky enough to be able to be part of something special like that down there in South Austin. I think, you know, being able to bring somebody like Josh and Claudio into Austin FC is a real statement of an intent from the ownership about where we want to be. So really, it's hard to kind of pinpoint one thing. I don't think I want to say one thing is better than the other because everything has been awesome.
So let's put it in a different lens and maybe it'll make it a bit easier. So just from a PR and marketing standpoint, what would be your MVP of the year? It can be a person or a story or an event or whatever, but what would you say has been the MVP of Austin FC, the Austin FC brand this year?
I think for me, the MVP of the Austin FC brand is probably the stadium groundbreaking event. That was the first time that we set foot on the piece of land that will be home to Austin FC and an asset for the whole community. And to see so many people turn out for that, both in, you know, from my perspective, to see every single member of the Austin media come to that. But it started with almost the very perfect introduction of anthem cheering. There was a chant that went up as we all kind of walked out and took our places to present the groundbreaking event. The chant went up, and it really did feel like what it's going to feel like in 2021 when we are actually playing matches there at the stadium. That was the real marriage of supporters of the city of Austin, of some sponsors, and Austin FC staff and media. So to see all those people come together for something that was such a monumental part of the history of this club, something we'll look back on for years to come. So I think that was probably the main event for me.
Yeah, I think a lot of what one day will be the Austin FC game day experience is so fragmented at this point, just because we don't always have reason to all be in the same place. And even just within Austin Anthem, it's very rare that we have the band and a large group of supporters and these people all in the same place. And so that really was an event where there was a lot of the big stakeholders from day one, including city council members and people from the team and people from Anthem and people from the media who were all sitting in the city council meetings and stuff like that. And so, that's one of those few moments where all those people were in the same place. And so I had to miss that event, unfortunately, but from what I heard, it was a really electric and exciting environment.
Yeah. It's funny because, you know, we'd planned that event down to the kind of last second, particularly for the live stream, so that we knew what was happening. And we didn't plan that the chant was going to go up, but the hairs went up on the back of my neck when that happened, because it felt like what it's going to feel like. Right. I mean, you know, we also had our entire ownership group there. And I think for everybody who's here at the front office and who's kind of working flat out to make this thing real, to see really what it meant to everybody on a piece of, you know, on a construction site. Imagine what it's going to be like in 2021. It's pretty cool.
Right. Yeah, I guess that's part of our job, is to keep you on your toes sometime, huh?
Absolutely.
All right. So Matthew McConaughey was in London this week at a Chelsea match, and a lot of pictures came out from that day with him with Chelsea players and coaches, including Frank Lampard and some kid named Christian Pulisic. I don't know if you've heard of him or not. And during all of this, he was wearing the Austin FC badge on his chest. So what kind of impact has Matthew had on spreading the word for the club and building the Austin FC brand?
I think it's pretty obvious what the impact that Matthew McConaughey has for us. He is a world famous Hollywood superstar. He is beloved around the world, and he's also just cool, right? I mean, he is the perfect person to represent Austin FC. Going back to that chant, you know, all right, all right, all right, is the chant.
And yeah.
We own that, you know, Austin, City of Austin and Austin FC and Austin Anthem own that, those three words. They are now synonymous with him, and they're synonymous with us. So, you know, when Matthew wears our logo, and also don't forget, he was wearing it before, you know, he went to that LAFC game,
yeah.
He wore the t-shirt. And a bunch of people, you know, who don't know anything, didn't know anything about Austin FC, are kind of looking at that and saying, what is that? There was one tweet in particular, and this is, I'm going to talk about this because this is kind of highlights some of the frustration sometimes with the job that we do. There was one tweet in particular from a soccer fan in New York who said, I didn't know Matthew McConaughey was involved in soccer. And looking at this person's bio, there was, you know, this person clearly knows quite a lot about soccer. Now, maybe that tells me I'm not doing my job particularly well. Probably does, because I should be maybe promoting better. I mean, people in New York are really not my core audience, but
yeah.
You'd hope that soccer fans knew it. But you kind of want to go on social media and say, how could you not know that? You know, Matthew McConaughey has been talking about this quite a lot. But yeah, I mean, we are incredibly fortunate to have him as part of our ownership group. He will continue to spread the word. He will evangelize, and he will tell people about why this is such a great city, and why UT is one of his loves, and why Austin FC is one of his loves. I think it's also worth saying that we're incredibly lucky to have the support of such a strong and diverse ownership group. We've got so many good people there who want this club to succeed. And we're very, very lucky that we have so many people involved with us who want to help us achieve the goals that are being set out for this club.
I think a lot of us that are very focused on the soccer part of this, whenever the Matthew McConaughey story came out, we were excited about it, but I think maybe didn't quite understand how big of a value add he was going to be. And then he joined Instagram pretty soon after that. And I don't remember how many followers he got in that first day, but it was an ungodly amount. And then I know for me, and I think some other people within Anthem that I've talked about this with, realize that he's going to have not only an impact within the soccer community. I mean, that's going to be part of it, but just as far as spreading the word and kind of raising awareness about the team and promoting the team to people who maybe aren't paying attention to MLS or soccer at this point. And I think that's going to be a big part of his value.
Yeah, it's the kind of halo effect, right? I mean, is you see it in all forms of sport, and you see it similarly in entertainment, you know, that it works the other way as well. You know, you see movie stars want to hang out with sports stars because they share a similar spotlight. And as you say, Matthew, you know, has launched himself into Instagram since he became an owner of Austin FC. And we are obviously therefore extremely lucky that the amplification of brand awareness can now be helped by his activity in Instagram. I think the other good thing is we've got somebody who can help with that in a credible way. You know, it's not like Matthew McConaughey is just going to kind of do a buy this today call to action. It's not like a kind of car dealership. You know, this is somebody who is going to help us grow our audience and awareness of us in the right way, you know, in a way that is cool, you know, in a way that befits him. So that's
essentially just needs to keep doing Matthew McConaughey things, but do it with an Austin FC badge on sometimes.
There you go. You summarized it much better than I could.
All right. So before we finish up, I just want to ask you one more question. What are you most looking forward to in this next year?
On a personal level, I'm looking forward to sleep. my wife and I gave birth to our first child about 4.5 weeks ago from when we're talking right now today.
Congratulations.
Thank you very much. We are the happiest, most proud parents in the world, as I'm sure every parent says, but we're not getting a lot of sleep. So I'm looking forward to that. But from a professional perspective, I mean, there is so much to come. We have, I think MLS has just announced this morning the date of the Super Draft for next year. I think it's January 9th, 2020. And we look at things like that and we say, in a year's time, we will be part of that. And when that comes in 2021, you know, the summer transfer window is going to open, I think it's July the 4th, July 5th next year. Early July, the summer transfer window opens. And we're going to have an interest in that. You know, Claudio and Josh have both talked about that already. You know, we're going to see significant growth in the stadium. We're going to see players coming to Austin FC. We're going to see the front office continue to grow. We're going to see our season memberships filling up. We're going to see so many good things. You know, I think it's such a roller coaster. It's so exciting being part of this. And, you know, in a year's time, we'll be having another conversation, hopefully, about just how many more milestones have kind of been put in the ground over the last year. So everything. I'm looking forward to everything and a little bit of sleep.
Yeah, well, it's going to be an exciting ride. Tom, it has been a pleasure as always. So thanks so much for joining me.
Well, thank you. And thank you to every single person who reps Austin and Anthem and is part of the Austin FC world. You know, supporters are the lifeblood of every single club. Without you, we would be nothing. So thank you.
Thank you, Tom. I don't know you a thing. I don't know you a thing. All right. Thanks to Tom Webb of Austin FC for joining us. So let's talk a little bit about these two McConaughey stories that we got. So Chris Bills walking into a bathroom with Matthew McConaughey and Richard Suttle. It sounds like the setup to a bad joke, doesn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. A journalist, a movie star, and a guy who probably has had people killed. They kind of run everything in Austin, walk into a men's room. And the story happens. Yeah, that was interesting. And that's very, for anybody who's ever met Suttle, the fact that he would be like working somebody about environmental standards in a men's room is great. And then I thought McConaughey's response was like perfectly McConaughey. You know, he's playing the character of himself all the time.
Yeah. I'm also glad that was before McConaughey's Instagram phase, because, you know, certain things, like, you just want to hear the story and draw the picture yourself. Like, yeah, that's probably pretty accurate if you've, you know, met Richard and, you know, you've seen any McConaughey movies. It's like, you can see that with Chris just standing there like going, yep, definitely. Yep. Definitely environment stuff.
I thought that the thing that Chris mentioned, sort of the context of that story, about the groundbreaking was pretty interesting too, because it's not something I've thought a lot about, but you did see there where you had the people like Suttle that had been there from the start, and you had some council members that were like super involved. And then like even the city council members, like some of those have changed, and you had new ones. And then you had the ownership group that had come in late. It's like that whole groundbreaking experience. And you had all of us, which have all been in for sort of different lengths of time at Anthem, but to sort of have that whole perspective of the, I don't know, what is it, almost 2 years worth of lead up to that moment was really an interesting insight for him to have.
So with Tom, we talked a little bit about Matthew McConaughey and kind of his impact on the reach of Austin FC. So what did you guys think about those pictures of the Chelsea game that came out with of him?
Well, I mean, I'm not a fan of the color blue. no, but I mean, it was great to see that, like, you know, he's over there, and the way they phrase it, like, he's on a publicity junket for his new movie, and it's kind of like, yeah, he talks soccer. He mentioned his movie, but he was really here to talk about soccer. And you know, you don't get that if you're trying to manufacture PR stuff. You can tell that he has fallen back in love with the game, probably thanks to his kids, it sounded like. And then he's showing up in a Chelsea locker room. It's not like he's an international superstar, so he just kind of sees, you just kind of walk, you know, you knock on the door, you see McConaughey, no one's going to go, sir, you don't belong here.
Yeah,
just, no, please come in.
Yeah, you let him in. One of the videos that I saw was, I think it was Talk Sport, which is a British sports show, but it was a little interview with him, and the interviewer essentially had to remind him to plug his movie at the end because he was just talking about soccer and Austin FC the whole time.
Yeah, you see these things all the time where somebody wants to make a photo op for Instagram, and it's just a celebrity who may or may not even know the player they're standing next to. And it's a very different experience. Like, he's not only a great advocate for the company and the team in terms of being well known, but just that he's really all in on the soccer thing. And I think it's when we first, I kind of thought of him as the Will Ferrell of Austin when he first kind of came around, because it was so equivalent to Will Ferrell's LAFC thing. But you know, Will Ferrell is not like talking about soccer all the time. You know, he's not really into it, not talking about his kids. And McConaughey mentioned that he thinks that, you know, soccer at some point in the relatively near future will even pass baseball and hockey in terms of American interest. So just the way that he's really super into and committed to it is pretty amazing.
Yeah, and I guess to segue into something else you talked about, you know, the Will Ferrell LAFC thing, and how I know Tom talked about seeing that on the big screen before anything had been announced, right? And you're just kind of sitting there like, oh, McConaughey, Austin, soccer. And you're like, oh, this could be really big.
Yeah.
And it has been really big. And like Jeremiah said, I don't think it's like this, like, I'm just here as part of the Austin scene or, you know, to be invested in a business thing. It's like, I like soccer. My kids like soccer. Oh, there's a soccer team here. I should go get involved with that. And same with some of the other new ownership group as well. I guess they're the investors, so they're, you could tell that some of them like are very intrigued by the business side, but all of them are big soccer fans as well.
All right, let's just hit a few more news recaps before we finish up. So last week we had the Austin Anthem holiday party / toy drive, which was a lot of fun. Got to see a lot of familiar faces and met some new people as well. But we also did some good while we were there. I think it was, how many toys did we get,
Jeremiah? 1,786 toys is how many toys we collected, right? Tony, you told me to write this down.
Yeah, actually it was 1,100 million, since we're just making up random numbers. It was actually 104, which is still a really good number. We filled up a Jeep. I think poor Michelle, we had to like play Tetris to fit it in the second Jeep that they brought. So appreciate everyone that came out and brought some toys. Really, really nice to see all that giving back to the community. And, you know, we had a FIFA tournament. We had some drinks. Josh talked for a while, and then we gave Haymaker a gift. So I don't know if you want to talk about the biggest frame I've ever seen.
Yeah. So there were two framed flags, Austin Anthem flags with the scarf kind of framed there in it. Those were gifts to Keith and Haymaker, to one of them to be hung at the main Haymaker location. But many of you will know there's a Haymaker out at the airport as well. So hopefully they'll take us up on this offer. I think they will, and hang these up in the bars. So they already have some Austin FC scarves and flags kind of hanging up around the bars. So we'll be taking our rightful place next to it. Another big piece of Austin Anthem news, or kind of exciting thing that happened, was there was an article that came out about Austin Anthem in Austin Fit magazine. And I believe it was titled "Austin Anthem is Keeping Soccer Weird." Is that what it was?
That is what it was. And I can't imagine. I'm happy that somebody at Austin Fit like looked at the picture of our group and decided. I don't even really know how we. I don't know how we got connected with Austin Fit, and we were definitely in the lifestyle part. It wasn't like they were not asking us for our favorite exercise tips or where we went to CrossFit or anything like that. But it was, I mean, it was a neat article. It was a long article. I was really pleased with how in depth they got into all the things that we're doing and the way we built culture. And they talked to Jorge and they talked to Natalie, and really covered like the broad, in addition to talking to Josh, about the broad perspective of kind of what we're trying to do to build an inclusive group. And I think they did a really good job of that coming through in the story.
Yeah. I think a lot of the coverage that we've gotten from different media things have not, they either don't fully understand what a supporters group is and then maybe didn't do a lot of digging or investigation to find out what it is and what we're all about. And I think this article actually did a really good job of that. So try to find that article if you can. I think it's a really good representation of who we are and what we're trying to be. And also is a different voice telling people about it other than ourselves, which is usually who it is.
Right. And a shout out to Alex Rubio, who's the photographer extraordinaire with Anthem and everything else, and got a magazine photo credit out of that too, which was cool.
All right. So another piece of Austin FC news is they've now named their EMLS player for 2020. So it's Hector Valenzuela is his name. Young H, I think, is his tag. He's actually among our ranks. So he's in the Anthem Discord channel, has been kind of playing in our little FIFA tournaments that we've been putting together. So, yeah, we have a grackle in EMLS now.
And technically, I think the first player signing, even on the EMLS side, it still counts. So the digital teams are taking over the world. But he did win the EMLS challenge at Valhalla a couple weeks ago. And with South by Southwest being the EMLS finals, the time window is very narrow. So he's got a lot of practice to make sure that won the trophy. But, you know, he's very good, and it'll be interesting and exciting to see him compete for the Verde.
I think the last thing we want to plug is, we mentioned before, new merch. These mugs are great. We have koozies and lanyards and what else is there?
We have the zip-up jacket. Yeah, hoodies. Yeah, those are super cool. Yeah.
So, yeah, go on to austinanthem.org, look at the store, check out some of the new stuff or the old stuff. We have a lot of that as well. And then sign up for your 2020 membership. So the new year is approaching. You'll get some really cool stuff. We've got flags, a sweet little grackle enamel pin, and then a decal that you can put on your computer or your car or whatever else.
Yeah, and especially from the membership, I know a lot of people last year just wanted the scarf. The scarf from last year is now available just as a standalone item until we ran out of that. But you don't want to have that same situation with the flag. Make sure you get those in now. You get the green, the purple, and the black. Any of those will look great anywhere. On a wall, back of your car, probably not the best place. You want to see out the back of it, but that's what the decal is for. So make sure you get those in before the end of the year, to make sure you're ready for 2020.
All right. So we will be back within, I don't know, maybe we'll take a little break over the holidays. We'll be back at some point within the next few weeks with another episode. We're probably going to lean a little bit more into the year in review on that episode. But yeah, we'll talk to you then. So until then, enjoy your soccer.